It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Dan Strauss and Ian Geis are here with me.
Hit me on bass.
And that music in the background is the Rock Bottom Remainders, the band made up of some very famous authors across this country.
You can't judge an apple by looking at the tree.
I believe that would be Stephen King right there.
Looking at
the our friend Ridley Pearson's in the band.
Can't judge a daughter.
Amy Tan is in the band.
Mother. You can't judge a book now looking at the cover.
Perfect song, the old Bo Diddley classic for the Rock Bottom Remainders as authors to cover. And here's another member of that band who's got a new book out.
You look like a fun.
It's Dave Barry. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Are you trying to lose your entire audience? What you doing?
No, I love the Rock Bottom Remainders.
Okay.
As you know, because I talk about them every time you're
that
on with me.
That doesn't mean you have to inflict them on the innocent people of St. Louis. Okay.
What do you play, Dave?
I play the guitar. We use a musical technique I call the rumor method, which is everybody is holding an instrument of some kind and playing something, and then a rumor goes around that there might have been a chord change. You know, rumor doesn't reach everybody at the same time, nor does everybody respond in the same way. But
yeah.
So.
I remember the first time you and I talked about the Rock Bottom Remainders, I asked you what one of your favorite songs to play was, and you said Gloria, the old Van Morrison and Them song, and you said, of course, it's not that hard. You could drop the guitar on the floor, and it'll play it by itself. Dave has a brand new book called Best State Ever. A Florida man defends his homeland. We've only been making fun of your state for 20 years, Dave.
More than that, really. But yeah, you're right. It started big time with the 2000 presidential election, where we lived up to our official state motto, Florida, you can't spell it without duh. We were the only state unable to figure out, even weeks after the election occurred, exactly who we'd voted for. And so that became the sort of the ongoing nightmare for us. And then the image was sort of solidified then in Florida as not a really competent, intelligent state. And then in recent years, there's been this the whole Florida man thing, which has become, I'm not sure what a meme is, but I think that's a meme. And where the impression people have is that everything here is stupid and weird. And we do have a lot of stupid and weird. But I like to say that if you look beneath that, you know, veneer of stupidity and weirdness, you find a much deeper level of stupidity and weirdness. And that's what I wanted to write about in this book.
And you set out to find it. And not only that, you also found a scientific explanation for why there are so many stupid people in Florida.
Yeah, I said, like, if you imagine a large box open at the top but with high walls, and you put rats in the box, and they're down on the lower right side, there's a little corridor leading to a dead end, which is obviously Florida, that most of the rats, if not all the rats, would eventually go down there and explore it, and the smarter ones would, you know, when they decided to leave, would turn around and go back, and the slower ones would eventually figure out, the really dumb rats would stay. It would be trapped down there. And that's kind of my theory of what, you know, somehow people come here and they can't leave. They have trouble leaving Florida. Possibly because they're naked or arrested. I don't know, but I point out in the book that yes, there are a lot of creepy people doing weird things here, but a lot of those people came from some other state, possibly even Missouri.
No. Although I don't think we have a musical ambassador like Florida does. I read that Pitbull, the rapper, was recently named the official ambassador of Florida.
Mm. Yeah, and when I found that out, I went and looked up some of Mr. Bull's lyrics.
Mr. Bull.
Yeah. Okay. We can't talk about him on the air here, but he really does represent the spirit of Florida, no question.
Yeah. You went to the, you mentioned the elections, you went to at least one of the political conventions this summer.
I went to both of them. I went to Cleveland and Philadelphia.
How was that?
And the Olympics. I was a busy, busy person.
Oh, I'm going to get to the Olympics because I was reading your dispatches from there every day at the Miami Herald. But tell me about the conventions.
The conventions were entertaining. I find that what goes on inside the convention is usually pretty dull, and the more exciting part is what goes on outside in the streets. In Cleveland, the Republican convention inside was pretty interesting because it was a lot of unexpected things happened. It was kind of unconventional convention, and to a lesser extent, that was also true in the Democratic convention. What surprised me about that was there were a lot of protesters outside, and they were kind of represented inside, mostly the Bernie Sanders people, and they seemed angrier at Hillary than they did at Donald. There was a moment, I described it in one of my columns, when they opened the first day of the Democratic convention, and they have a flag salute and stuff like that, and then they had a woman come up and deliver a prayer, a minister, and in the prayer she mentioned Hillary Clinton early on, and this started this chant of Bernie, Bernie, which enraged the Hillary people. They're just going Hillary, Hillary, and so. The poor woman trying to deliver the opening prayer to stop while these chants rage back and forth. They were unable to get through the opening prayer without...
We're only 45 seconds into our program, ladies and gentlemen. Please contain yourselves.
So, it was a strange... Usually they're just festivals of fake unity in both conventions. And this year they didn't have that vibe.
I can't understand why anybody wants to go to those things. Why would you want to be a delegate?
No, delegates are, I feel sorry for them. They're the lowest form of life at a convention. Their job is to hold up a sign. They don't even get to decide what the sign says.
Yeah.
They have all these, captains and sub-captains running around on their cell phones telling people what to do, when to cheer, when not to cheer. They don't get invited to any of the good parties. And there's not as many good parties as there used to be. That's the other thing.
And are the straw
hats... I like the days when the large corporations essentially bought the conventions and lavished food and liquor on, and even the media sometimes got some. I miss those days.
Are you complaining about not being well-fed by the Democrats and the Republicans?
Yes, I am complaining about that.
Did you at least come away from it with a straw hat?
No, I didn't. And that's the other thing. I mean, I don't know, the days of the dumb hat. Used to be, you'd go in there, everybody had a big stupid hat.
Yeah.
Like a giant pig hat or something for whatever state that is that's pig, proud of its pigs. I can't, was that Arkansas? Anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, Razorbacks.
But yeah, now, you didn't see many. Used to be like everybody in the Wisconsin delegation had some form of cheese up there.
Uh-huh.
No more.
What about Florida?
This country's falling apart, and that's a good example.
What about your state when they do that roll call of the states? Florida, the great state of Florida.
Florida has to exhale its marijuana, and then Florida didn't really do anything. The
first state to be infected by the Zika virus.
Exactly. Yeah, they're wearing mosquitoes on their heads. The best state was Delaware at the, I think it was the Democratic Convention, announced that it was, among other things, the home of George Thorogood and the Delaware Destroyer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty hip.
So I was pretty proud of that.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Zika, are you staying inside to avoid it completely?
No, because I actually live in Coral Gables, which is not zoned for Zika. It's illegal. They have to have a permit to bring a mosquito in Coral Gables. And it would take, the paperwork alone would take years. So.
It's a gated community, the mosquitoes.
Yeah, you can't even replace a screen door in this, let alone bring a mosquito in here. So, no, we feel pretty safe. But it is funny, I have to say, because when my wife, Michelle, is a sports writer, and she and I went to Rio with our daughter, who's 16, and everybody said the same thing. Said, how can you be, are you crazy going down there? Zika, Zika. And of course, the Zika erupted right here in Miami.
Right.
There was I never heard of anybody even mentioning Zika down there, except in reference to the fact that it wasn't there.
Now, I don't know what the protocol is if you're going to be out on Copacabana Beach in Brazil or Miami Beach in Florida. Do you put on the sunscreen before the mosquito repellent or the other way around?
We didn't put it on at all, but they don't put a lot on, Paul. It's Copacabana Beach, let me just say, of anything. Men and women, they wear the average American family of four. The fabric that would use for the bathing suits for a family of four would cover pretty much all of Rio de Janeiro. They wear small, even the men, thong-oriented bathing suits.
Kind of dental floss holding the package,
yeah,
and that's about it?
Not a lot of coverage. But they're out there on the beach. I mean, that's the world's biggest. We stayed in Copacabana, and so we were there a lot, the beach, and it's like the world's longest party, mm-hmm. going on and on and on, day and night.
But you actually went to some of the events. I read a great column you wrote about going to badminton, because if it weren't for you, Dave, I wouldn't know that the shuttlecock at one point can move somewhere in excess of 300 miles an hour.
Well, we don't really know how fast it goes because it was kilometers. It could be hundreds of miles an hour. It could be 4 miles an hour. I don't know because it was kilometers.
I didn't know they were using the metric shuttlecock.
It's like I never know what the temperature is anywhere either. You know, like, when they say it's like it's 12. You know, come on, what is it really? Don't tell me it's 12, whatever that means.
What were some of your favorite events that you saw there?
I'll tell you my least favorite first, and I hope I don't offend anybody in the listening area there.
It's impossible.
We spent approximately, my daughter and I, 4 hours getting to this, because the traffic was, at the beginning especially, was really bad. Judo.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of pictured, I don't know, naive of me, I thought that would involve some kind of physical contact and fighting, maybe breaking some boards, you know, maybe throwing people over your shoulder, I don't know, something like action. Basically, they wear pajamas. It's not a real effective thing. That's not like ideal for the, and they basically keep gripping each other by the garments. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of garment. If you want to see two people in pajamas gripping each other's garments,
judo is the sport for you.
That's mainly what happens. They grip each other for a while, and then they get separated, and they fix their pajamas for about 5 minutes.
That's only fun in college.
Then they go back to gripping, and then every now and then a point gets scored, but I could never tell how.
Yeah.
So, and then somebody would win. I go, why? Why? Wait, what did he do? So
I had the same reaction one day. I was flicking around, and I came across one of the NBC channels that was showing fencing.
Oh, we went to fencing also, and nobody knows who's winning that.
No. It seems like the two of them come together. There's a clash of steel for a microsecond.
And then suddenly lights go on.
Yes.
And then one of them gets mad. One of them always gets mad. And that's how you know where the point is. But you don't know how he, you know where did the point come from? I could never tell.
Yeah. I always found it funny that many of these sports like fencing and judo and skeet shooting were being televised. In fact, NBC was streaming every single event, and I can't imagine who was watching it. And I realized it has to be equated to when my daughter was in high school and she played the cello in the orchestra.
And you were watching the cello.
And the only people who went to those concerts were related to the people performing there. No one from the community wanted to go to the high school and see the orchestra concert, and nobody in the world community wants to turn on and watch judo or badminton from the Olympics.
It has that vibe, yeah, like of only the moms. And the other one, I don't know if you saw, I didn't see it live, but I saw it on TV, is the synchronized swimming.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird.
It's like robots, isn't it?
Oh, my God, that's strange. It's like, what are you doing? It's like they're having, like, seizures in the water, but simultaneous seizures, you know? Make these sudden jerky moves around there.
Yeah, totally unnatural. What was your daughter's favorite part, because you took her along?
The sport that we both liked the most was volleyball, not the beach volleyball, which wouldn't be in the Olympics if it weren't for the costume.
Yes.
By the way,
I'm 100% in favor of the bikini outfits.
No, we all are. I mean, nobody's complaining about it. Just like, you know, you just know that the softball people are going, oh, why didn't we think to do that?
Hey, imagine.
We're wearing these big, bulky uniforms, and if we.
Let me tell you something right now, Dave. Judo and fencing would get a lot more viewers if they wore that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So your daughter?
Oh, we liked the volleyball a lot. Both of us did. And also we liked walking around the beach a lot. My daughter and I spent a lot of time doing that.
Getting back to the book here, which is called Best State Ever, A Florida Man Defends His Homeland. You went on some excursions, including one story you tell in the book about you and Michelle, your wife, going to the hottest dance club in Miami Beach. I can't remember the name of it.
It's called LIV, L-I-V. Yeah, Michelle and I went there, and we were, here's how, I mean, it's really hard to get into this club. There's bouncers, and it costs a lot of money, and there's this long line at midnight, which is basically when it opens, of you know, just hot young people of both genders as looking as hot as they possibly can. And, you know, so first of all, Michelle and I get there. I'm older than not only everybody in that line combined. I'm older than the bouncers, but I'm literally older than the Fountain Blue Hotel. So there's no way we would ever have gotten in except that a friend of mine hooked me up with, she knew the owner, and got us in there. We go in, and it's so, it is like you pay a lot of money to get in, and then you pay a lot of money for drinks in there, and then you listen to a DJ, a celebrity DJ. Do you want to hear my rant about celebrity DJs?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll make it short.
Okay.
This is, why are they celebrities? It requires exactly the same skill as operating a microwave oven.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you push a button and it plays something. You know, push a button and it makes your pizza.
Yep.
I don't get that.
I don't either. I can't believe that there are some of these club DJs who make $500,000 a year.
A year,
yes.
A night. They're like, these guys are superstars. Anyway, so I don't get that. Anyway, they're playing this, it's electronic dance music, which just, oh, man.
Yeah, I know.
So,
I'm with you.
I mean, it's like this boom, 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 and it goes on and on and on. And I don't know how you could possibly enjoy that without, like, heavy doses of pharmaceuticals. I really don't.
Well, that may be the case.
Yeah. And so, but you can't really dance to it. They're not really dancing. They're kind of bouncing up and down. You can't talk because it's so loud. So what you do is you're in a room full of people looking as hot as they can, kind of looking at each other and not really able to converse without yelling. So it's basically just bouncing up and down together. At least that's what it appeared to me. I didn't get it, to be honest, but I can say I did it.
You know that somebody once said that about the Rock Bottom Remainder show.
Everybody would say it. Yeah, that's true. But we're not like, electronic dance music is very repetitious, and we don't repeat anything because we can't remember.
The book is called Best State Ever, A Florida Man Defends His Homeland. It's the new one from Dave Barry, who will be here in St. Louis. At the Ethical Society of St. Louis on September 19th, signing books and giving a little talk and saying hello to everybody who shows up there.
Two words that are rarely associated with my name are ethical and society.
Dave, it's always a pleasure. Good luck with the book tour.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
My pleasure, too. It's the Big 550 KTRS.